It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Welcome to Rant and Rave, the podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. Our writer this week talks about how you can be changed, or, well, scarred, by movies you see when you're young. Here's Ron Batita to introduce her.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. Ladies and gentlemen, Mia Wesley is an actress, writer, and producer born and raised in Los Angeles. She began acting professionally at the age of 8, growing up in L.A. theater, and has appeared in numerous television shows, and is a graduate of Carnegie Mellon University. Ladies and gentlemen, Mia Wesley.
Seven years ago, my daughter was born. She was the first baby I had ever held. The doctor basically just handed her to me and said, "Don't fuck it up." The insane responsibility for caring for a tiny human was so intense. I read every book and article I could, and I was just determined to be the perfect mother. But, you know, there's so many things that nobody tells you, and just when you feel like you have the hang of it, they grow out of it, and then they do something else. Sleep training turns into teething, turns into walking, turns into potty training, and everything feels completely overwhelming. She's not a baby anymore, but now I get to teach her about life, which is way harder than I thought it would be. One of the things I have looked forward to most is introducing my daughter to 80s movies. During the 80s, we had the Z Channel and a VCR, and that, as an only child before the internet, that's pretty much all you needed for a fulfilling childhood. My parents were very lenient with what and how much I could watch, so I ended up watching movies that were completely not intended for children, like Splash and Romancing the Stone and every 80s comedy you could think of like 700 times. There were no kids' movies then like there are now. E.T. was a big, huge, once-in-a-lifetime thing, and you had to wait like 2 years for the VHS tape that cost like $100. So if it was on the Z Channel, I was watching it. And that could be why The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas was my favorite movie when I was 6 years old. And I didn't understand what hookers were, but they had the prettiest dresses I had ever seen. I ran around singing all the songs, and I desperately wanted to be Dolly Parton, which, you know, I still do. The whole whore part went completely over my head. So, of course, I didn't think it was an issue when a few months ago, my 7-year-old daughter asked if she could watch a movie called Turner and Hooch. It's a buddy movie starring Tom Hanks, you know, when he was still fun and awesome, and this adorable chocolate lab. And it's one of those rare 80s movies that managed to escape me. I was so ecstatic, and so I sat down to watch it with her. You know, it's cute enough. Tom Hanks hates the dog, but the dog loves Tom Hanks. But through a series of hysterical and unfortunate events, they must live together and learn to get along. And yes, they do end up loving each other, and they love each other very much. Well, about 3/4 of the way through this film, it takes an awful turn. Just when you think that Tom Hanks has finally found the key to completing his lonely police detective existence, Hooch, the dog, throws himself in front of an angry criminal and takes a bullet for his best friend, Tom Hanks. The dog is lying lifeless on the ground with Tom Hanks slumped over him, sobbing. So my daughter starts screaming at the top of her lungs hysterically. I mean, oh my God, the dog fucking dies in this? No way, the dog can't die. It's a light 80s romp. And you know, even though this is my first viewing, if there's one thing on the planet I understand, it is a good 80s comedy. And if the dog died, I totally would have heard about it. No, honey, the dog does not die in this. There's no way he's gonna get up and he's gonna be fine. My little girl looks up at me with total trust. Okay, mommy. The next scene is in a vet's office, and Hooch is lying on a cold metal vet table. When does he get up, Mommy? Soon, baby, soon, I promise. Okay, Mama. Now, the vet puts the stethoscope on the dog and listens, and this is totally where the dog is going to come back to life and kiss Tom Hanks, and it's all going to make him a better man. He's going to get up right now, baby, I reassure my child. The vet listens to his chest. No heartbeat, because the dog is dead, completely, permanently dead. I am still holding out hope that he's at least going to come back as a dog ghost when the credits start rolling. My daughter is now actually wailing. Why, Mommy? Why is he dying? Why? Wow, was I not prepared to do this right now? I have no idea what to say or how to say it, but she's staring up at me, desperately needing an answer. Because death? Happens, baby. Everybody does. Well, of course, this does nothing to comfort or calm her, so I just end up holding her as she sobs herself to sleep, muttering, Hooch, Hooch. And the next day, she presented me with a picture she drew in crayon of Turner at Hooch's funeral. And to this day, she can't see a chocolate lab without crying. Last Passover, I took my daughter to a Seder at a friend's house. And after dinner, she asked to play with my phone. She took it. She ran out of the room. And 15 minutes later, a mom walks up and shoves my phone in my face. She's also one of those no TV, no phone, no media of any kind moms. I just want you to see what they were doing with your phone. I look at the phone, and I see a massive collage of intensely pornographic images. It seems that the children have Googled the words naked people because, well, they're children, and I hadn't thought to install the parental control settings because my kid was only 6. I mean, I think I was 10 when my friend showed me a highlighted copy of the sex scene in Judy Blume's Forever, and I still barely grasped it. And I must have been at least 9 when another friend showed me her dad's hidden stack of Playboys. I mean, at 6, my favorite movie was about singing prostitutes, and I thought it was like Gone with the Wind. And now there's the internet. It just takes one Google search to see things that you can never, ever unsee. On the car ride home, I asked my child if she wanted to talk about anything, if she'd seen anything on the phone that made her feel weird. There was one thing, she said. Oh, no. What did she see? She's going to ask about penetration, vaginal or other kinds, things that are going to confuse her, and I'm going to try to explain and fail miserably. What was it, baby? Well, Mama, I felt kind of weird when I saw that man with 3 arms. Huh, the man with 3 arms. Well, baby, we all feel weird when we see him. It's still better than the time when I absentmindedly uploaded a video of my then 2-year-old daughter onto a porn site. Please, ladies and gentlemen, even when in a sleep-deprived haze, take note that there are huge differences in content between youSendIt.com and youShareIt.com. Always remember to type carefully. It's likely that she may look at me one day and tell me all the ways in which I ruined her life. And maybe then she'll realize the only real difference between her and me is a whole bunch of years and experiences that all seem pretty meaningless until that one day when the doctor lays a little baby on your chest and tells you not to fuck it up. And then that one day when you realize that fucking it up is inevitable. The one thing that will never change is that I love her more than I ever thought possible. I just hope, for her sake, she doesn't spend the rest of her life looking for the elusive man with three arms.
That was Mia Wesley on Change. Tune in next week when we hear from a writer who really doesn't want to talk about change. Unless you're talking about how you should change, then she's all ears. Click your way to RogueMachineTheater.com to find info on our award-winning stage shows, as well as get tickets to our next Rant and Rave live event. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Rogue Machine Theater and have a new story delivered to you every Thursday. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Nottestrom. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Yeah.